Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Dead Bug Jumping. For this second show, we'll be starting with something that doesn't exist on a completely obscure size of disc. We're starting with a song by Burt Layton. Anyone who's got Google can try and bring up some info about Burt Layton. Feel free to email us, because you know what? I can't find anything about him. This record is recorded on an 8-inch disc. 8-inch discs were introduced in the 1930s by a company called Crystalate. They were attempting to challenge the other manufacturers and trying to bring down the cost of gramophones, or more accurately, they were trying to increase their market share by producing nasty cheap gramophones. These nasty cheap gramophones don't wear very well, and this one sounds like it hasn't worn very well, but hey, random record, Prosperity Song by Burt Layton. Apparently, Crystalate actually owned lots of record labels, including Imperial, Eclipse, and Rex. This is an Eclipse record, and I usually see these records kicking around being clocks on people's walls, but this one isn't one. One of the interesting things about the records released by Crystalate, or at least by Eclipse as their branch of Crystalate, is that they often recorded famous artists, but under pseudonyms. So while Burt Layton singing the Prosperity Song might mean nothing to anyone now, at the time it might have sounded an awful lot like someone very famous, because it was. Unfortunately, I have no clue who that famous person is. If you do know, please email us and we'll include you in the next podcast. But for now, here's Burt Layton singing the Prosperity Song.
Everyone is leading poverty, and that's a silly thing to do. We must all sing of prosperity, for it's coming to all of you. Another war, but this is worthwhile fighting for. Prosperity will soon be here again. There's a saying true without a doubt, you may be down, but you're never out. Don't let others bother you, dump your coat and follow through. Prosperity will soon be here again. Poverty may come to everyone, but just as swiftly go away. Go and find your place out in the sun, for your good times are on their way. One for all and all for one, that's the way it can be done. Prosperity will soon be here again. We don't want another war, but this is worthwhile fighting for. Prosperity will soon be here again.
Crystalate, along with their tens of other names, disappeared into Decca in the 1940s, and they themselves disappeared into Polydor, who are apparently Philips. Burt Layton, however, disappeared into the ether, and as I say, I'm afraid I have absolutely no clue who he is. I was considering going from the Prosperity Song to songs about money, or songs about feeling good, either of them sort of stemming from the lyrics there. But instead, I thought, I might not know who Burt Layton is, but I know who Charlie Chan, John Burks, and my most favourite, B. Bopstein, are. Charlie Chan is Charlie Parker, and John Burks and B. Bopstein are both the same person, Dizzy Gillespie. Pseudonyms are quite common in jazz, with artists appearing under other names on other people's records. So here we go, this is Salt Peanuts, being played by Dizzy Gillespie from the Giants of Jazz LP. So that was Dizzy Gillespie there, along with Charlie Parker, Al Haig, Curly Russell, and Sid Catlett playing Salt Peanuts, apparently recorded on May 11th, 1945, according to the record sleeve. That is from the Giants of Jazz LP, and is really fantastic. Dizzy Gillespie's trademark style with the upturned bell on his trumpet apparently came about after someone fell on his trumpet in 1953, bending the bell, and all the trumpets he played after that had the upturned bell. This track that we just played, Salt Peanuts, was recorded in 1945, so it was actually recorded with your ordinary common or garden trumpet, but it still sounds like Dizzy Gillespie to me. A little bit of slightly obscure Dizzy Gillespie trivia, which I found on Wikipedia while I was having a little hunt around. In 1964, he allegedly put himself forward as a presidential candidate, promising that if he was elected, the White House would be renamed the Blues House, and named a cabinet comprising of some pretty awesome jazz figures, including Charlie Mingus as the Secretary of Peace. And that dinky little piece of trivia is what takes us to the next song.
Country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Peaches come from a can, they were put there by a man. If I had my little way, I'd eat peaches every day. Sun soaking bulges in the shade. Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches. Moving to the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches. I took a little nap with a little salt twist. Squished a rotten peach in my fist and dreamed about you, a woman.
So that was Peaches there by the President of the United States of America. Cunning how that link occurs, eh? That song was the first single from their first studio album called The Presidents of the United States of America. They're also commonly known as The Presidents, and in 1996, Peaches was nominated for a Grammy Award. It is apparently about a girl that the lead singer, Chris, once had a crush on. He apparently wrote the song while sitting under a peach tree which was in her yard, penning the words to let her know that he liked her. There is certainly some cultural, perhaps, confusion about what the song might mean. This being a clean podcast, we won't be going into other alternative meanings for the song, but I'll leave you to look that up for yourselves. Talking about the one that you love and talking about food together can only lead you to one place. Well, actually, it could lead you to lots of places, but today it's only going to lead you to one place. Those of you with a sensitive musical disposition may wish to mute your headphones for the next song. Last week, you may have noticed that Marvin actually predates Walk of Life. I don't really have an excuse for that. This week, I actually have an excuse for the slightly lackadaisical approach to going forwards in time, which is that my copy of the next song was actually pressed after Peaches. So although the song predates Peaches by quite a long way, the copy that I'm going to play now doesn't. And those of you who are making pained noises during the short period which we're playing this song, just remember that Millie Small's cover of the 1950s Barbie Gay song, My Boy Lollipop, actually reached number 2 in both the UK and the US charts. I've heard a lot of people comment unfavourably on My Boy Lollipop, describing it usually as awful. It is quite a fun little song, and as I say, it was very popular at the time. Minnie Small's first hit, My Boy Lollipop, is a Bluebeat song, and Bluebeat is a direct ancestor of ska. Ska being a new musical style to the UK, and My Boy Lollipop being the first song in that style to be a hit. So there you go. I must admit that I tend to think of Millie Small as being a one-hit wonder, but she did actually also record the song Sweet William, which charted in the UK, and is actually the B-side of the slightly strange modern pressing I have of My Boy Lollipop and Sweet William. But as I say, Millie Small's popularity is in her own way responsible for bands such as The Beat, The Specials, The Selector, and of course, Madness. In the halcyon days of my youth, alright, in my misspent youth, I used to frequent a secondhand record shop. It's actually where I started getting into music. The records weren't exactly sorted. This little shop in Watford, run by an elderly gent, consisted of essentially stacks and stacks of secondhand 7-inch singles and also stacks and stacks of gramophones. At that time, I didn't really care about the gramophones, but my mum and my dad would take me there. I would pick out records based entirely on the name or the cover, or basically if I fancied the label on the disc, and we'd take them home. And I was the proud owner of a record deck that my dad had repaired. It was a little Philips 1970s thing that you could stack records on, and you would eventually ruin them. As far as I can tell, that was the main process. You put them on there, it played them with an extremely heavy needle that gouged great chunks out of the disc, and then eventually the discs were nearly unplayable. My copy of Eddie Grant, if we ever get to that, that sounds atrocious after years of abuse on this thing. Anyhow, after a fairly long time of listening to these sort of shonky records like He's the Kind of Boy You Can't Forget, I finally started actually getting new music. And one of the earlier singles that I got is One Step Beyond by Madness. I'm not actually going to play One Step Beyond because I actually fancy playing The Prince by Madness. The Prince in this case refers to Prince Buster, or Muhammad Yusuf Ali, a musician from Kingston, Jamaica, who was very influential in the early history of ska and rocksteady music. In 1979, Madness recorded The Prince, which is a homage to their idol, Prince Buster, and was released through Two Tone Records. It was a very early ska hit, peaking at number 16 in the UK charts, and we'll just have a little listen to it now.
Buster, he sold the heat with a rock steady beat.
An earthquake is erupting, but not in Orange Street. A ghost dance is preparing, you got to help us with your feet. If you're not in the mood to dance, step back, grab yourself a seat. This may not be uptown Jamaica, but we promise you a treat. Buster, pull me over with your bogus dance, shuffle me off my feet. Even though I'll keep on running, I'll never get to Orange Street. So I say there's nothing left to say for the man who set the beat. So I'll leave it up to you and then to get him back on his feet.
And that was Madness there with The Prince. I keep wanting to say One Step Beyond, but it wasn't One Step Beyond, it was The Prince, taken from their collection of singles, The Business, which is also interspersed with lots of interesting commentary about their career and the music industry at the time. Highly recommended box set, also available on Amazon very cheaply at the moment. And that brings us more or less to the end of this Dead Bug Jumping. Just a couple of quick things before we wrap up the show this time. Some of you will have noticed on the blog that we have been having some issues with being listed on iTunes. At the moment, we are listed under Dead-Bug-Jumping. I'm not sure how long we will be listed because we have actually received a rejection notice again, so you may have to start subscribing via our website, which is deadbugjumping.pyoor.org. That's deadbugjumping.pure.org. Next time on the show, we'll be starting from a musical version of a poem written in the 1870s. So let's see where that takes us. Thank you for listening, and I hope you join us next time for more Dead Bug Jumping. Dead Bug Jumping is Creative Commons licensed, but all individual tracks do remain copyright of their original rights holders. Please see our website for more information. Please feel free to email us at deadbugjumping@pure.org with any suggestions for the show. We hope you'll join us next time for more Dead Bug Jumping.